Good morning. It's good to be back. Had a wonderful time at polishing the pulpit. My pulpit is very polished. And a lot of good lessons. I tell you, if you have the opportunity and can find the means to attend polishing the pulpit, I would highly recommend it. Especially as well as if you got a family, if you got teenagers and young children, because they have classes for them throughout the week. There's over 3,000 people in attendance this year, and our children love to go. They love to be in the classes and to learn more about God's Word, and I think yours would as well. They have wonderful speakers, and it's just a good time of Christian growth, and I would recommend it to anybody. And we'll try to make sure that next year that we have plenty of upfront advertisement as to when it is and how you can check into whether or not you can go or not. You know, as we're here on Labor Day weekend, I hope everybody's having a good holiday weekend. I want us to think about being laborers. Being laborers in the kingdom of God. You know, the word that is translated laborer or workman, they're both the same word in the New Testament, is a word that is simply indicating someone who is willing to get in there and truly give of themselves, to work hard, to be diligent in the effort that is set before them. We are, as children of God, called today to be laborers. To be laborers in the kingdom, not setters, not lookers, but laborers. We were driving by some bank and there was some work being done on our way to Tennessee. And there was like two guys working, about seven standing around watching him. And I thought, well, that might be the way it is a lot of times, but that's not the way it is to be in the Lord's church. Everybody's to be in the field. Everybody's to be working. Jesus calls us to labor in His kingdom. I want us to think about three aspects this morning, but the first is that we are called to be laborers in His kingdom. The Great Commission, as we see it in Mark chapter 16, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Or in Matthew chapter 28, to make disciples of all nations. We are called by the Great Commission to be workers, to do something, to be active in the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to accomplish His purposes. The Great Commission is His call to all Christians to go into the field and to work for the harvest of God. You know, we can see that even in the parables that Jesus Christ used in His ministry. When we think about even the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, behold, a sower went forth to sow. To sow what? To sow the seed. What is the seed? Jesus Christ said it's the Word of God. To go forth and to teach. See, they went out into the field, He said. He went out in the field to sow, and He cast that seed everywhere that He could. Some of it landed on good soil, some of it landed on not so good soil. But He was throwing it everywhere, giving every opportunity, every chance for the seed to grow within the soils that were around Him. You know, we can think about as well, going to the parable of the wheat and the tares, right? Once again, we're in the field. Once again, there's a laboring going on in the field, isn't there? The master sowed good seed. Good seed being the Word of God again. Sow good seed in the field. But we need to understand that when we're laboring in the field, we're not laboring, we're not out there by ourselves, are we? The devil's out there too. See, he's creeping around in the dark because the parable of the wheat and the tares says that he came at night, right? And he sowed bad seed. Seeds that look like good seed, or when they come up initially, they look like wheat, but they're not. And it's hard to tell till they're fully grown. And see, we got people today in the world, the religious world today, that may look like what Jesus Christ, but ultimately there's something missing. Ultimately, it's the difference between being wheat and being tares. But we are laborers in that vineyard. And we are to be planting that good seed. Jesus stated as He sent out the 70 in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Now, we're going to see Jesus Christ say that in another location here in just a moment, but here He says it here as He's sending out the 70 to preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. John chapter 4, one of those great chapters in the Bible that everybody knows a little bit of something about, where Jesus comes to a well in Samaria, right? And a Samaritan woman comes to Him, and she begins to speak to Him, and while this conversation begins about water in the well, it turns into living water, doesn't it? And what Jesus Christ could offer, and what Jesus Christ knows, and what Jesus Christ can do for your life, and who He is, and what worship to God is. Wonderful words said to a woman A sinner woman, probably. A woman that had to come to the well by herself because of her sins. Jesus spoke to her, and she was so impressed with Jesus. She was so impressed that He knew everything about her. Her marriage situation, the fact that she was living in adultery at this very moment in her life. He knew all of that about her, and she was amazed and saw Him as the Christ. And she rushed back to the village so that she could tell everybody about Jesus. You know, when Jesus Christ tells us all about us, when we come to Him and we find that He has everything that we need, do we run back and tell people? She did. She ran back to that village and she told everybody. And as we come to the end of the chapter, all those Samaritans from that village are crowding out of the village and they're coming to see Jesus because of one woman. Listen to what Jesus Christ says. He's down there now. The disciples have returned and they're all confused as always. Jesus said, "I have my own food." And they're like, "Where did He get food?" He said, "That's not my food. I'm not looking for physical bread." He said to them, beginning with verse 34, chapter 4, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest." For Jesus Christ, and as we endeavor to emulate Him in every way, laboring in the vineyard was like His food. It nourished Him. It strengthened Him. It made Him everything He was. He said, "That's what my food is. Doing God's will. Doing what He wants me to do. We are to hunger and thirst for righteousness," as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Laboring in the harvest has great rewards for our lives, just as it had great rewards for Jesus. And you know, don't say, "I'll be a laborer someday." But the fields are white for harvest right now. There are many who miss the harvest. And you know, if you're on a farm and it's time to harvest the fields and you don't go do it, those fields will go bad, won't they? And the produce will be lost because no one was there to harvest it. And you know, there are people who are looking for something today. They're looking something religious. They're looking for God in some particular way. Are we in the field? Because there's going to come a day for a lot of those people when they just quit looking. Then they're going to be really in bad shape then because they're no longer looking for God because we weren't there to harvest when they were. When they were ripe. When they were white for the harvest. Because see, you got to get the visual image of why Jesus said that. He says, you know, He says it's harvest, but I lift up your eyes. See, Jesus is wanting them to look at something right there, right then. Probably what He's seeing is the people streaming from the village, right? And they're all coming to see Jesus. These people are interested. These people are looking for something. They don't know what they're looking for yet, no more than the woman at the well knew what she was looking for when she got there. But they know they're needing something. They know they're looking for something. They're like that rich young ruler who, while he said, "I've always kept the law," still knew that something was lacking. What more do I lack? And they were looking. And Jesus says, "You need to look up, guys, and pay attention to what's really important. You're talking about eating supper. I'm talking about harvesting God's fields. Look at the people coming. They are ready to be harvested. They are white for the harvest." Folks, I know sometimes it feels like nobody's interested anymore. You know, preachers get that same feeling every now and then. No one's interested in the Bible anymore. No, that's not true. There are. Maybe not as many. But there are people out there that are white for the harvest. May we be in the fields. You know, people, we do not want them to give up. We do not want them to die. See, sometimes it's not just that they give up looking. It's that they leave this life. And we missed our chance. And the harvest is past. Night has come for them. No, we do not need to be sitting around trying to make up our minds about being laborers. We need to be in the fields doing the work. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, Jesus says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, it says. Jesus, you know, I get this, you get this idea of Jesus standing there and He's just looking. He's just surveying the people. So seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. Not because they were sick. Don't think that. That's not why Jesus felt compassion in this particular case. There are places where he felt compassion, he healed them because of it. But in this particular case, it's not because they're sick. It's because they spiritually are completely clueless. They don't know where they're going. No one's helping them. No one's leading them. No one's there for them. Listen to what he says. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Folks, outside of God, there is no peace. Outside of God, there is no joy. And I guarantee you, if you're outside of God, you are like these people. You are dispirited. You are distressed. Because what hope is there? What do you have to look forward to? What do you have to look to for strength? I've talked to people terminally ill that do not believe in God, and they are most to be pitied because they had nothing. Nothing. And I've sat beside the bed of a person who believed with God in God with all their heart, and they could smile and they could laugh days before their death because they had the peace and the joy and the hope that only God gives. So we should look at people and know if they are in Christ, they are hopeless. And they're going to come to that point one day as they're coming near that last breath that they take on this earth, and they are going to have that same hopeless feeling because they haven't been led to Christ and the hope that He gives. That should break our hearts to know people die like that. We get upset when a dog suffers, right? CNN, everybody will have it on the news. Somebody mistreated a dog yesterday. And we will let people die lost and not a second thought about it. That should break our hearts. For we are never further from Christ than we are when someone dies lost and it doesn't even impact us at all. We are a long way from our Lord. Because He died to stop that. And He asked us to bring them to His sacrifice. We need to be laborers. But He said as He looked at them that they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And He said to His disciple, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest. Again, Jesus making that same statement again. Folks, we need to be the answer to that prayer. As we pray for God to send more workers out into that field, the world. As we ask for God to send more, we need to be the answer, one of the answers to that prayer. It's not something we just pray and say, okay, God, who are you going to send? Here am I, send me, Isaiah said. We need to be the first answer to our own prayer. To go out to the harvest. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Goes on to say, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Folks, they're never going to have faith that can save them if we never go out and teach them. If we do not sow the seed, if we do not labor in the kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, but we have this treasure. What treasure? The gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are those earthen vessels. What are you made out of? God made us from the dust of the field, did He not? In Genesis chapter 1, we were made from the dust of the field. We are those earthen vessels that God has placed the gospel in and wants the gospel to go forth from these earthen vessels to all those around us. It's our responsibility. God has given it to us. Angels are not going to tell them. They didn't tell them anywhere in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is not going to personally tell them what to do to be saved. He's already done that in His life as it's recorded in the Bible. No one's going to tell them except us. And if we don't tell them, they don't know. That's what Romans says. He says, how beautiful are the feet, though, of those that bring good tidings, right? Have beautiful feet. I told the boys at preacher's camp they had beautiful feet, and they looked at me like I was a nut. They do. Anybody who brings good tidings has beautiful feet. You go on down to verse 13 there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, but having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore what? We also speak. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? What have you said about Him lately to somebody? Have you told anybody in the last week what Jesus Christ has done for you? Using those words, Jesus Christ did this for me. Jesus Christ blessed me this week. Have you told anybody that? Because according to this writer, if we believe, we're going to speak. Maybe we don't believe Jesus is doing anything for us. Is that the case? I hope not. I sincerely hope not. But we need to speak. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. Who? Through the church. Who are we this morning? We're the church, my friends. That the manifold wisdom of God might be known, made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. It's our job. It's our field. It's God's seed, and it's our labor of love. Love is not just, I love you. It is, I want the very best for you. And salvation is the best. You know, our Friends and Family Sunday will be on Sunday morning, October 13th. Write that down right now if you don't know about that, if you haven't read it in other things we've had this year. October 13th, you need to start inviting your friends and your family now to attend. Don't say, remember what Jesus said, don't say you got 4 months to harvest. Don't say I got 4 weeks till Sunday, right? Behold, the fields are white for harvest. Go invite them now. Because the person you invite tomorrow may not be able to come, but the person you invite Wednesday might. Invite as many as you can. You realize that if every family in this congregation brought at least one individual, it'd fill this auditorium up? Are we going to do that? Or will we have the same number we have every Sunday? Because nobody went into the fields. Because we didn't labor. May we labor for that. So that they can hear what they need to do to be saved. So that they can see what the Lord's church is truly all about. Look around and see that there are many to invite right now. And they don't have to wait till October 13th. They can come next week. The week after that, and the week after that, and be there on the 13th too. But the lesson that day will be geared specifically for people that don't know the gospel. So that would be a special day for them to be here. Not only are we called into the vineyard or into the kingdom to labor, we are to labor together. You know, thanks be to God that we're not called to do this alone. Thanks be to God that we're not an Ezekiel. That God just kind of threw out there by Himself and said, I got some tough things for you to do, buddy, but you're going to have to do them all alone. And that's rough. But thanks be to God, that's not what we're called to do. Jesus said to pray that there would be workers in the fields, right? Plural. So we're not alone. The field. Many hands makes easy work, as we said back on our work day a couple of months ago. That's the same thing when it comes to working in the kingdom of God. Been talking about this year being soul focused and having our minds set on people's souls, the lost souls, our souls, and the souls of our brothers and sisters, but to be soul focused, everyone engaged personally in the harvest, everyone engaged personally in the field, everyone sowing seed to make the biggest possible impact in our community, in our nation, in our world. I've had some people ask me since, Nathan, are we having any success with that? And I can tell you this morning, we are. I've had people call me time and time again so far this year going, how do I do this for this person? How do I help this person with this? What's the best way to reach this person? More calls than I got in the 2 years previous to this one. It's not something we're going to put on a board, and it's not something you're going to see, and it's certainly not something we should stand up and brag about. It is something we do for the Lord, not to be seen by others. So don't think because you're not seeing something that it's not happening, because it is. There's great growth going on in this congregation. I am so blessed to see it. I'm so blessed to have people talk to me about it so that I can see it. And I'm so encouraged by where we're heading and what we're becoming. As we are become more and more the laborers that Christ prayed for in His kingdom. You know, in John chapter 4 and verses 36 to 38, going back to that story with the disciples and Him telling them, look, lift up your eyes. See the fields are white for the harvest. Listen to what He goes on to say after this. after he said what we mentioned a while ago, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Now, what is Jesus talking about there? Jesus is saying, boys, I'm fixing to send you to that bunch of people coming down the hill right there. They're looking for the Christ. They're looking for hope. They're looking for the truth. And I'm going to send you in there and you're going to reap that harvest. But you had nothing to do with making that happen. Because Jesus was the one that had sown, right? He did all the prep work, didn't he? Jesus is the one that talked to the woman at the well. You could even say the woman is part of the work previous to the disciples, because she's the one that went and told everybody and brought them out of the city. So he says, you're going to benefit from the work of others by going in there and taking advantage of the interest that they have generated. The interest I generated in her and that she generated in them. Now you get to take advantage of that and go in there and reap a harvest for life eternal. So see, they're working together. Even there, they're not alone. Jesus had sown, and now they were going to reap the great harvest of that particular day. Paul said it to the Corinthians like this: I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who sows is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive their own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. Fellow laborers. You're God's field. You're God's building. His church. Ephesians 4 will tell us that. We are God's fellow workers. We labor by planting the truth in the hearts of people. We labor by watering those seeds further with teaching and encouragement so that God might give the increase of eternal life through Jesus Christ to the people that we plant that seed in. See, whether I plant or whether I water, we're equal. We're both doing what God wants us to do, right? And none of us are above any others, because at the end of the day, the only one that matters in that equation is God. If he doesn't give the increase, you can plant and water all your life, right? And it won't matter for anything. It won't accomplish anything. But because he gives the increase, our planting and our watering has a reward of life eternal within those individuals. Last of all this morning, I want us to consider that not only does Jesus call us to labor, not only are we not laboring alone, but we're fellow laborers. And by the way, if you want to do a little search, just do labor or fellow laborers and see how many times Paul refers to people like Aquila and Priscilla as my fellow laborers. Paul was always talking about the people that were working with him. Paul gets all the press, doesn't he? But Paul was ready to be sure and tell everybody, all the people that were there with him, helping him. He was always talking about his fellow laborers. He even invited Timothy when he was down in distress by persecution, said, you come and you be my fellow suffer with me. Not only my fellow laborer, but my fellow sufferer. But the last of all, we need to understand that as long as you live, it's not too late to labor and receive the reward. You know, the harvest is a time-sensitive item. Today is the only day of salvation some people will ever get. This is it. There will be somebody over here at Wake Med that will leave this earth probably today. It's last day. Last chance. Last time. Maybe some of us. Who knows? John chapter 9 and verse 2, our Lord said, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. See, Jesus was on a schedule. Jesus' entire ministry was on a schedule. He even told his mother in John chapter 2, before he turned the water into wine, it's not time, Mom. But she didn't listen. And he respected his mother and still did what she asked him. But it's not time. Jesus was on a time schedule. He understood that the clock was ticking. But he wanted to do as much as he could. And folks, he taught those disciples and he taught people. He taught them all the way up to the time that they drug him out of the Garden of Gethsemane to crucify him. He was teaching. Peter, those who live by the sword die by the sword, right? Put the sword away. Teaching Peter even as the mob was taking him. Jesus fought for every moment of the day because he knew the night was coming when no man could work. Folks, our day is coming too. Our night is coming. We only have so much day, and when the night comes, our work will be done. We need to do all that we can while it is day. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Matthew chapter 20. I want to read a parable that Jesus gives. Jesus says, for the kingdom of heaven. Now, when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about us. He's talking about the saved, talking about his church. But he's going to give us an illustration of what we're like. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out in the early morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said, why have you been standing here idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled. They grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. See, those people that came at the 11th hour, they got the same as the people that came at the first. Why? Because the Master's generous. Would that be a word you could apply to God? Generous? Gracious? Loving? Giving? Whatever word you want to apply, it'll fit. That he wants to give everybody the same reward. You know, you may have been in the fields of our Lord's kingdom for many years, maybe even decades right now. God bless you. Keep up the good work. You may have just showed up in the fields obeying the gospel just recently. God bless you. Keep up the good work. Some of you may be in the fields for decades of your life. Great will be your reward in heaven, according to Matthew chapter 5. Some of you may only have hours or days of work left in the fields. Great will be your reward in heaven. Death comes to us all. It is the night when we can no longer work the righteousness of God in His fields. And what will matter when the night comes was, were you a laborer? And it won't matter if you were a laborer for 1 hour. The end there. My grandfather was baptized into Christ, had a major stroke the next morning, never was cognitive again. He was literally a faithful Christian for hours. Now I believe great is his reward in heaven. Why? Because God is generous. My great-great-grandfather preached for 70 years and his reward will be the same. Because God is generous. However many years I work, it'll be the same. Because God is generous. But let me tell you what. God does not reward laziness. My mama didn't. And I can promise you God doesn't. Parable of the talents, the man that hid his talent and did nothing with it, he was called a wicked and what? Lazy or slothful, your translation may say, servant. He will not reward laziness. People sitting and watching others work in the labor, working in the fields, laboring to sow and to water and to harvest. He will not reward people who will not participate. But it doesn't matter how many days you have left. You will enter the kingdom today and work and labor in his kingdom today. God is generous. And great will be your reward in heaven. This morning, if you're not a child of God, There is nothing great about your future. Life without God goes nowhere but being lost. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11 in the great invitation when He says, "Come unto me," He says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Yes, He asks you to labor in His field, but it's not more than you can bear. And it's not more than He should ask. It is what we should do as we serve Him and try to bring others to Him. It is the love that we want to save our lives, right? I want to be saved. I want God to love me. I want somebody to teach me. I want somebody to love me. But yet then we're not willing to give. And that violates the golden rule, doesn't it? Somebody saved me, but I don't want to save somebody. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Don't expect what you're unwilling to give. Be a laborer. Come to Christ today. Know His salvation. Labor in His vineyard. Bring others. Harvest the fields. Plant the fields. Water the fields. And great will be your reward in heaven. You can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the only way to the Father, being buried in baptism, having your sins washed away there at the cross of Jesus Christ, rising to walk a new life, a life in the labor of the kingdom. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you haven't been laboring. Maybe you've been watching others labor. Determined today to get out into the field, to sow, to water, to harvest, so that many may know life eternal. Repent of your laziness and come to God. If we can assist you this morning anyway, if you need to repent of public sin, if you need prayers of this congregation for your spiritual well-being, we want to do that. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.